Welcome to Breaking Free Authentically, the podcast where we explore what redefining relationships looks like through a sex-positive lens. Let's kick shame and guilt to the curb and really start living a sexy, authentic life. I'm passionate about normalizing out-of-the-box ways of designing relationships. There's nothing quite like finding your tribe and experiencing the freedom of being completely yourself without judgment. I'm your host, Corinne Bedard, your sex-positive relationship designer, and I'm here to guide you in creating the relationship you desire, whether that is a more open one or simply a more empowered one. Join me every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to enjoy the newest episode. Welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. Good morning and welcome to episode 77. Today's episode, this is going to be an interesting one. It's the transformative power of sexual fantasies. My guest today is Artemisia Devine. She is a sexual fantasy expert who teaches the world's leading sexperts the meaning of our sexual fantasies and how to bring them out of our heads and into our beds. She's the author of the upcoming book, The Spirituality of Smut, The Surprising Wisdom of Sexual Fantasies. She is a certified somatic sexologist. She has her BA in anthropology, and she is a former sex worker and professional dominatrix. She offers a groundbreaking new theory. Understand how stories work, and you understand why we have sexual fantasies, and how to create powerful, real-life transformative sex experiences that satisfy the real desire behind the story symbolism. Today, we talk about sexual fantasies and how it has been so stigmatized. Fantasies are not just for healing. They're also there to tell us how to let go and have deep pleasure. Our egos resist change in states of consciousness, which is why we often get stuck in our head. So we talk about that. We're often afraid of letting go and being vulnerable. And fantasy gives us the key to unlocking our consciousness and gives us deep permission to let go and feel and surrender. And all good sex takes surrendering to some level. If you think about your best experiences, they often are described as like getting lost in the moment. And we really want this for you. So we really unpack that a little bit. We talk about that today. We get rid of some of the stigma you might have towards professional dominatrix, towards sex workers, sexuality, fantasies. I mean, it's just an incredible conversation. And I want you to, first of all, allow yourself to have desires and fantasies and then learn to accept them as perfectly okay. There are no forbidden thoughts, desires, or fantasies or emotions. I teach this all the time. This is so important in my work. I don't want you to escape and just fill a void. I want you to be fully authentic and alive with confidence and show up in your true power and who you are. And a lot of times that happens when we're able to let go and we're just able to lose the shame around certain things, shame around our desires, shame around how we want to experience pleasure, and just allow ourselves to step in. So we really kind of talk about that today. So I'm excited to have this conversation. So when we get back, we will be talking with Artemisia Devine. Do you feel like you've been sold a fairy tale when it comes to sex and love? Why isn't it working? Why am I not fulfilled or satisfied? Why do I have a deep longing for more? Maybe you've had some of these thoughts. Did you know it's not your fault? That's right. You've been brainwashed since childhood with disempowering beliefs about sex and relationships. This is known as the mono mindset. If you're tired of feeling stuck, you're ready for Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program where you will learn how the mono mindset has set you up for failure in relationships, why you think of sex as wrong or taboo, why you judge yourself. You will finally learn how to have empowered relationships with confidence and success. Many of my clients have said, "Kareen, I didn't know I had choices. I thought I needed a partner to feel complete. I thought I was supposed to suppress my desires to have a successful relationship." Well, what if you could learn to love yourself and your desires without guilt? Well, you can. With Breaking Free from Conformity, the 8-week program, shifting the subconscious programming that is keeping you stuck. It's not your fault. You weren't given a choice. It's time to break free and start living your life. To register, go to offers.kareenbedard.com/BFFC for Breaking Free from Conformity. I can't wait for you to find ultimate freedom and create an empowered relationship for yourself. Please visit our website at www.breakingfreeauthentically.com and subscribe to our mailing list so you never miss an episode. Be sure to leave a review on Podchaser by clicking the link at the top of the page. That would mean the world to me. Finally, I'd love for you to join Breaking Free Authentically, our private sex-positive relationship community on Facebook. All the links will be posted in the show notes. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Breaking Free Authentically. We are on episode 76 already, and this is so exciting. My guest today is all the way from down under. Down under. I can't do an Australian accent to save me, but her name is Artemisia Divine. And it is divine to have you here today. Thank you so much for being my guest.
I'm really looking forward to the kind of conversation you and I can have together. This is going to be fun.
Oh, I know. It is going to be fun. I would like to ask what you do and have you explain it for us, because it's so cool and you have a beautiful way of explaining it. So,
go ahead and share with us. Thank you. I am a sexual fantasy coach. And this is not something that most people have ever heard about, is it really? And they don't understand why on earth you'd need one. I help people understand the mental part of sex. There's all of these people out there already teaching you the physical techniques and also supporting you in your relationship aspects of sexuality. But if you want to have mind-blowing sex, you really have to understand the role that the mind plays in sex. Mm-hmm. So I am the person who somehow ended up teaching some of the world's leading sexperts, sex workers, sexologists, sex educators, and therapists how to understand our smutty thoughts, our innermost secret thoughts, our desires, our fantasies, our patterns of turn-ons, and not just how to understand them, but how do you actually engage them? How do you find the wisdom inside them? Because they're surprisingly wise. So I think if there's such a thing as reincarnation, let's just imagine there is, and I live in a next life and do a past life regression and think back, in my past life, I was a sexual fantasy coach. I'm not going to believe myself. I'm going to say, you made that up. It's like a dream.
I love that, because like that is literally like one of the first steps in my Breaking Free method. F-R-E-E, fantasize, release, embrace, empower. And I think that we get caught, especially people who like judge the kink world and all that kind of stuff, pathologizing people's fantasies instead of seeking the wisdom in it. And sometimes, yes, there's reasons why we desire certain things. It's almost to heal childhood wounds and things like that. But that doesn't make it wrong. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't embrace those desires, because your body is telling you something. And if I had any advice for my 19-year-old self, is to listen to my body, you know, how does it feel around certain people? Do I feel safe? Do I feel connected? Do I feel like I can be myself? Do I feel like people honor the authenticity of who I am? And do I even honor my own authenticity? And I think that that's what you're getting at, is like, we're so taught to shame our fantasies and our desires. And I say often, there's no forbidden desires. There's no forbidden desires, thoughts, emotions, fantasies. Like, nothing is off limits. Not everything is permissible. Not everything is ethically doable or even legal. But there's no thoughts and desires and fantasies that are off limits. And I think
I absolutely agree.
That's so important. So I am excited to get into this. I have named our conversation today, because I think we can stay on task here a little bit, because everything's going to fit in this, the transformative power of sexual fantasies. Yeah. So let's dig into that. You mentioned that there's so much wisdom in fantasy. So tell us kind of how you got to that conclusion, because you have kind of a cool story of how you came to that. And I want people to know, because I'll relate it back to part of my deconversion process, is getting familiar with someone who did your kind of work. And so tell us a little bit about how that, because that set me free in so many ways. So I'm so pleased that you're here and you're willing to talk about this.
Thank you so much for being welcoming. Like you, I was brought up in very conservative Christianity. In fact, mine was extremist, breakaway, Seventh-day Adventism. So not mainstream Seventh-day Adventism, even quirkier than that, and even stricter and more controlling than that. So I grew up not trusting the body at all. Even herbs were something to be scared of, because they might excite the senses too much and excite you. You can't have drums in your music. You had to mistrust your body. You had, like you were just talking about trusting your body, we had to mistrust it. And creating that disconnect with your own self it's devastating. It actually cuts you off from your own
flesh, right? Like, it was called the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not pure. It doesn't, you can't keep your mind centered on Christ or on God and bringing glory to Him if we're distracted by our own desires and our own pleasure.
Yeah. It's a transcendent view, right? You're trying to transcend your body to go to some spiritual state. Where I just recently learned the term incendent. So it's the exact opposite. Coming into this here and now in this body is the spiritual path in and of itself. Like, being really fully here in and appreciating that is, I like that. I like that concept of the incendent rather than transcendent.
Yeah, I like that.
I am here. I am loving this. So my upbringing made me mistrust all sexuality, and yet I also already had sexual fantasies from the age of 4 or 5. Like, already started having fantasies in kindergarten about one of the boys in my class and his older brother, who was in grade 6. You know, I was already having bondage fantasies where I was tied to a cross, no less. And I'm the center of attention and I get all my needs want, and I was very excited by this. And yet some part of me knew already that I couldn't tell anyone about it, because they just would not understand. And I couldn't make sense of it myself either, because in real life, if somebody was to tie me up and do things to me, that I would hate that. That would be trauma. I would not want that. So how can I make sense of something I really didn't want to live out, and yet was so exciting in bed? Why were my thoughts like this? What, you know, how do, why do I want to be treated differently in sex than I do in my everyday relationships? Why do I want to treat other people differently in sex than I would in my everyday relationships? And I went on a whole lifetime of sex geeking to try and understand what on earth's going on. Like, I was afraid of it. I didn't understand it. It confused me. I went through all of the phase of, I'm a feminist. Why do I get turned on by sexual submission, for goodness sake? This mm-hmm. That's the thing that hurt me the most. My sexual fantasies must come from trauma then. I must be trying to fix my own trauma.
Mm.
Spoiler alert, I don't think that anymore. There's actually more to it than that. But we'll get to that. So I went on this whole lifetime journey, so it's over 30 years of sex geeking, but the thing that was the most powerful and the most I got the most insight from was actually becoming a sex worker and a professional dominatrix for 12 years, where I was paid to become the sexual fantasies of thousands of people.
Mm.
And there's something that you just can't learn, like you really learn a lot that way. And I find that lots of therapists and sexologists are coming to me because I have the missing pieces that they could not get at university.
Mm-hmm.
Like the theories to try and understand what sexual fantasies are that come from university have big blind spots because they don't have the experiential mm-hmm. side of things. So I'm actually now offering a really groundbreaking new theory about why we have them and how we can engage them. And it feels really strange to have all of these professionals lining up. It feels really good to have all of these, you know, people who are considered respectable, the authorities in the thing, coming to little old me, the whore, for the real wisdom. I'm like, yes, I'm, you know, because being a sex worker, I lived not being respected. Mm-hmm. I lived, you know, being evicted from home after home because people don't want that kind of person in their street. I've lived with a fear of all, you know, my friends losing their kids in divorce cases just because they were sexual people. The worst thing in the world a woman can be is a whore. Like, isn't it drops it true? You out.
And that's why I do what I do too. Like, because I want to change this narrative and shift the stigma about sexuality so people don't lose their children in like court battles because of their sexual choices, because they want to be non-monogamous. Like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet a cheater can go and have their kids, no problem, because there's a framework for that in our society. But there isn't for anything that's sexual in a consensual, honest way that's outside of the norm of just monogamous marriage. People don't understand that. It's got to be. So we treat it in the religious community, right? We treat it as deviant and those people. And that's literally why I went to listen to Playboy, because of those people were the worst of the worst, those sex people. Mm-hmm. And so I had to find out for myself. And what I discovered is, like you, they're wonderful, intelligent people that have something authentic to say and have so much wisdom, respect themselves, have love and joy in their lives. And that is all the things I was taught that they wouldn't have, that they had no self-respect and no joy. So carry on, because I just think, like, if people could see you right now, because you're listening to audio right now, but if people could see you, like, you are such a classy looking lady. Your background is just beautiful. You have this gorgeous old fashioned furniture that's, you know, velvet and gorgeous. It's just elegant. And yet the stigma would say that you were a deviant and not okay. I mean, you are a deviant. We all are that break free from conformity. We're deviant, but that's not a bad word, but we've turned it into a bad word, which is such a shame, because how beautiful is life on this side? Like, I just love the freedom that I have and the ability to be myself. So carry on. Cause I love this.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. sex workers are incredible, savvy. I learned the most about boundaries from anyone, from sex workers.
Yeah.
When I first started, I didn't know anything. And I thought, oh, I'm being a sex worker. That must mean I'm not allowed to have boundaries. Like, I'd unconsciously taken on that archetype of if you are a slut, you have to take it all. But when I met the other sex workers, they were the most clearly boundaried, excellent communicators who really had a sense of autonomy over their own space, their own time, their own emotional labor, and their own bodies, and valued this and said, this is valuable. I'm not giving it for free. You want it from me. Give me something in exchange. Mm-hmm. You know, there was quite a really powerful thing to learn. And
I just want to make a distinction too, because like there's some sex workers that are forced into this and it's not consensual. It's not something that they have consented to or really want to do. But we're talking about here, like when you have chosen that because you want that for yourself and you own who you are and you come to it as an empowered person, would you say that there is a difference there? Because like we're not saying like people who are in sex work because they're trafficked and all this kind of stuff and forced to do this against their will. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are choosing this in an ethical way for themselves. Would that be fair to say?
Yes. I'll just add to it though. I'll add even more to it. That whole conversation around trafficking has been really blown out of proportion. There's way less of it than the scare tactics are going on about. But yeah, let's just say, is there a difference between someone who's forced into child marriage and consensual marriage? Why, yes, there is. Do we try and ban marriage because child marriage exists in the world somewhere? No, we don't. We're not that silly. Translated across people, it's really not that hard, right? Yeah. It's just not that hard.
Well, people are filled with fear and guilt about anything that they – and, I mean, there used to be a time when – you know, like hundreds of years ago, that sexuality was a part of the culture, is a beautiful like part, like that the older taught the younger how to be sexual and they had orgies and this was just a normal human part of living and connecting with those around you. And now it's like we can't even look at nipples online or we get banned, you know, like it's so forbidden. It's so evil. It's so shunned that people have to do things in secret in order to be, and that's not a way to be authentic, right? Like that's.
Wow. I'd love to tell you how that translates into sexual fantasies. So let's give you a little bit of a background first. There's already people who have explored sexual fantasies through the lenses of, you know, childhood unfinished business and adolescent business and healing. And of course, you know, all of our experiences in life make it into our sex. We process all of life through our sexuality. So they're not wrong. Those things do impact you. Your attachment style does impact you. All of these sorts of things. But they're not actually the center reason that we have sexual fantasies. That's a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my theory is that sexual fantasies are the exact story our egos in particular need to hear in order to let their guards down so that we can open to the vulnerability of connection and pleasure. They're stories that transform us from one state of consciousness to another. You know that in your everyday state of consciousness, you think differently, you feel differently than when you're horny. Mm-hmm. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. When you become horny, your logic is different. Your body, your nerve endings respond differently. Everything becomes an innuendo. Like you just suddenly the cucumber is really interesting in a whole different way. Like it's mm-hmm. just, it's an altered state of consciousness. It's shifting. And what we understand about altered states of consciousness is that there is always ego resistance every time we move from one state to another. Always. That's part of how we change states. Have you ever tried to meditate? Mm-hmm. Trying to get into your ego is going to try and distract that. Like it's mm-hmm. going to not want you to do that.
I think my ego is called ADHD.
Well, it's an added extra B, yes. But this is a thing that this is talked about amongst anyone who's ever explored any sorts of expanded states of consciousness, mm-hmm. right, is that you have to let go of your ego to access these other expanded states.
And that's hard and to sexual, do.
It's really hard to do. And you're trying to focus yourself, as you just, you know, laughed with me about trying to do it yourself through meditation and just using force of will to keep your focus there. That's hard.
No,
it doesn't. What if there's another part of your brain that's encouraging you? It's inviting you into this lovely erotic state of consciousness, and it's got the key. It knows the way, and it sends a little love letter, a little story to our ego guards that are all defensive and says, oh, you're afraid of letting go. You're afraid of being vulnerable. You're afraid that you'll make a fool of yourself. You're afraid you'll get rejected. You're afraid that your self-worth is not enough, that you're not desired enough. You're afraid that you'll lose your social status, mm-hmm. you know, then yeah, okay, let's include those fears in the story. But I'm going to tell you a story that flips it on its head. Mm. Instead of the end result that you fear, we're going to have the exact opposite. You're going to have this really big, spacious time where you have deep permission to fully let go and surrender into your feelings. So these stories tell. They include our ego's fears, and they include the perfect antidote. So the poison and the antidote equals an alchemical response psychologically, and it opens up and gives us deep permission to feel, to surrender. And we know that all good sex, whether you're dominant or submissive, all good sex takes surrendering to the role, to the experience.
It does.
Everyone, you know, when you talk about good sex, you ask people, what made your peak experience? And they'll say things like, I just lost myself in the moment. I didn't know where I finished and they began. I just felt like we were just so in flow, we were so connected. We just, in fact, some and really big peak experiences, it's not even just connecting with another person. It feels like connecting with everything, life itself in that moment. Mm. Like this, these oneness experiences, these really beautiful places.
Subspace is kind of in that realm, right? Like if you've you guys have ever experienced kink and gotten to subspace, it's an incredible place to be, and it is void of ego. It's void of thought. It's void of a need to be anything. You just are. You're just
that's right.
There. You're present. It's just so. I mean, you're almost barely present sometimes.
Sometimes there's different. There's a whole umbrella of different erotic states of consciousness, and the way that I'm teaching people, it's the opposite of escapism. You're more fully alive. Mm. So, people who had like 25 years of experience playing in the BDSM community would come to see me as a dominatrix in the Divinery, which is the name of my play space I had set up in Sydney. And they would say, I know this, and I want this, and I like this, and I've got these boundaries, and can we do this? And I've got 25 years of doing it, and I'd listen to them, and I'd listen to their fantasies, and I'd listen to the mechanisms underlying the story. How did that create permission for them? And then I wouldn't try and live out their fantasy. I would create an experience that triggered the same psychological cleverness that their fantasy did and bring that to life in some sort of lived embodied experience. And that's when they'd say, oh my God, I've been doing this for 25, 30 years and I've lived every sort of subspace and endorphin high that I thought I could have. What is this? Mm-hmm. I didn't know I could feel this. This is new. What is this? What is this thing? And I'm like, I trusted your own mind. It was a map. I took you here. This is where your own desire was trying to take you all along. And they would say things like, wow, this feels like drugs.
Yeah.
Like psychedelics, like I've taken ecstasy. Except that it's not the same as drugs. It actually feels much more real. It's not running away. It's a coming home. It's a running towards. This feels like who I've always been and I was trying to express. This is who I really am, and I'm sharing it with you. And it was so surprising to me. Like, it was completely surprising to me. I did not set out to achieve this. Mm. It was so surprising to me that I kept stumbling across these experiences where it felt like I was seeing their soul. And I don't know if there's a part of us that lives beyond this life. I have no idea any more than anyone else does. But what it felt like in the moment was that I was seeing the part that has lived forever and will always live forever. And it was, this is the self that is left when the ego is out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is that bigger sense of self.
Deepest authenticity, isn't it? Like, I think that's why I work so hard on getting rid of shame and guilt. Like, everything that holds us back, it starts with shame. Like, if you have any shame about a fantasy or a desire, your ego is going to hold you back from expressing it, or from, you're going to fear judgment and all this kind of thing. And like, when you're in that role of, say, dominatrix, what you're talking about is you created such a safe place for people to be themselves wholeheartedly without judgment. And that is the biggest form of safety. And so being a dominatrix or a dom of sorts, like, people think it's about control, but it's actually not. It's about understanding and being so connected to someone that you can take them on a journey that is outside of yourself, and you get to assist them. And I think people don't understand that what's required. It's not someone who's just good at hitting people or a sadist or whatever. It's someone who has deep love and compassion and empathy for people that can really almost see their soul and take them to a place that is the most vulnerable you can possibly be.
Right, because your ego keeps you safe.
Yeah.
From vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have your guards down, you have no protection. And so I have to be I have to be their ego for them. I have to become their ego so they don't have to have one. I have to protect them so that they can be free. And I often notice that. I was like, I'm actually, you know, your fantasy is me enacting all of the roles that your ego would normally enact for you. I'm running around being queen of the universe, thinking that, you know, even my farts smell wonderful. I'm the best. Of course, you should feel grateful for kissing the ground that I walked on. Like, I'm taking on an enormous ego so that they didn't have to have one. They could let go. But me blowing my ego up so enormously also made my ego safe. And so it could just relax and I could let go in the flow. So you can go in the front door or the back door, but either way, it gets the ego to stand down and you can access this bigger sense of self and share that with someone else. That's one of the most beautiful intimate things you can do. It's so precious.
Well, I really love it. It requires so much safety and connection, in a sense, to trust someone with that, right? Like they have to know that you can hold that, or they can't have that kind of experience.
Well, I would like to add another thought to that. You're right. You keep emphasizing the safe container we need to have, and you're right. But also, sexual fantasies are these freaking genius stories that also that create the safety for us. The very things that we fear, they transform and flip on their head in order for us to be able to let go. So
just had a huge like aha. Okay, so those people who are really shy or whatever, sometimes they can be the best actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
They come on stage and they're a different character and they play out this character and they can be all the things that they can't let themselves be in real life.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's such a correlation with like and theater brings you together because you're all playing these parts that all fit together to create this greater good. And it's elating. Like you feel so amazing after doing a show and stuff like that and being a part of something like that. So I was a musical director for several musicals and mm-hmm. just being part of that creative process, you get to experience a different kind of elation. So I'm thinking, and when I would, I'm a voice coach as well. So I would teach, when I would teach, people couldn't get outside of themselves and just like use their voice. They just would keep it stuck within themselves. But I'd be like, choose an alter ego, be someone else and use their voice to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And things would come out of them that they never thought was possible. And they would look at me like, what just happened? Right.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
and so what you're, I could see this correlation all of a sudden with like this kink world and playing out of our fantasies is stepping into like a different character that we won't, our egos won't allow us to step into, to put on this grand masterpiece almost that feels so fulfilling. And like you're saying, it tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so the script is this fantasy. And then you get to be the character in that fantasy and just be something that you wouldn't normally be. Is that part of the eroticism of it?
I love that you brought in the theater aspect. I used to recognize and tell people, and what I really did as a sex worker was I was creating personalized theater of our psyches. I was bringing out the characters that were in their fantasies, in their psyches, bringing out aspects of their own mind into characters to play and enact with it, react and interact with each other, and trusting their fantasy in guiding me and how that needed to happen. So you're saying we need to have no shame in order to be able to let go. You're right. We do need to address our shame. One of the ways that sexual fantasy can do that is by including the shame. So lots of people will get turned on by feeling embarrassed.
Yeah.
Or and like so there's shame kink or humiliation kink. That's the more extreme version.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, there's this embarrassment of like, oh my goodness, I'm so shy. Anytime you're a bit vulnerable, I'm feeling a little bit shy of, you know, I'm getting undressed for the first time in front of this new lover. You know, I've got embarrassment and excitement at the same time, right? It can be part of the turn on to include it. So your ego is going, no, don't be vulnerable. You could be embarrassed. And that's a threat to your self-worth, your self-identity and your social status. Nope. I'm against all forms of vulnerability. Nope, nope, nope. I'm keeping you inside the castle walls and keeping you safe. But desire, this other organ of your psyche, is going, come on, come on. You're afraid of this. You're afraid you're going to get embarrassed. Let's make being embarrassed part of the turn on. Let's turn it on its head. And I'm going to make it okay because we're going to include the embarrassment and the perfect antidote in the story. So, for instance, it might be, let's imagine that somebody's had a fantasy that they are caught rummaging through my knicker drawer and I've become auntie. I'm auntie. and they've got a huge erection and I walk in and I see them smelling my knickers and they can't hide their erection and they feel really embarrassed that they've been caught in their desire, right? But then the fantasy is like, the fantasy is they live out the fear of it. At first I tell them off, you know, you filthy thing going through my knicker drawer. But then somehow despite myself. I can't help become excited by it. And so I'm, but I'm in denial about my own sexual excitement. So I have to pretend that I'm punishing them. So it's like, no, you think that you're okay doing that? I'm going to make you wear those panties then, and make them wear the panties. And I'm going to, you know, you think that's exciting? Then, you know, and they live out their own fears.
Mm-hmm.
But I also become the antidote, because instead of rejection, I'm now excited by them. I'm now turned on by them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the safety right there, is that you're facing your greatest fear, but it's being accepted and also causing someone else excitement, which it's like in my program, Breaking Free from Conformity, we actually use hypnotherapy to like reprogram the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And we get rid of like what's holding you back, what's keeping you stuck, that programming, all the things you can't do. Mm. And then we shift that for you so that you now don't see things the same way, and you can actually get excited by the things that you desire and all that. So, but
This is a different way again, because this is trusting the fantasy. The fantasy knows the way. It's already inbuilt its own a solution to whatever it is that's blocking you, whatever it is that's blocking you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can focus on your childhood unfinished business or your trauma or your social systems that you live in. Like, we know that women are not allowed to be sexual beings. We talked about that before. The worst thing you can be is a whore. So we can focus on those. But even if those things weren't there, you had the perfect society and you had the perfect upbringing, your ego's job is still to protect you from all forms of vulnerability, and it will still resist every time you want to change states of consciousness. It's inherent in the paradox of sex itself that when you need to change from one state or another, you will find resistance. It will say, no, I can't connect. Vulnerability is too much of a risk. I might be rejected. And having to solve that problem, you will always have fantasies that are excited by power because of that. Mm-hmm. Because your ego thinks, if I'm vulnerable, then I could be laughed at. That person has power over me. They might use that power in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And so those fears are inherently always needed to be resolved every single time. Mm-hmm. And that means that we're going to have turn-ons and fantasies that are about somebody having power over us. And somehow the script gets flipped and the end result is the exact opposite to what we feared. We actually do get to experience all of the yummy pleasure we wanted, take up as much space as we need until we're done.
And that right there is empowering, right? Like, vulnerability at the end of the day is a superpower.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. It's like, but we fear it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in your scenario, it's like when you let go and you actually get to that vulnerability, you can experience things that you never imagined you could experience. A closeness, a connection, an intimacy, an empowerment, a high, a rush, whatever those things are. Just because you have let yourself go a little bit, right?
Right. So what I do is I teach I train people and how to understand sexual fantasies in the divinery method, basically the method that I used in the divinery, which was my sex work dungeon and play space. It wasn't just BDSM. I did vanilla sex too, or more classic forms of sex and erotic massage, and had all these different rooms and for different with different themes and things. So the method that I used when I got people to come in and sit down on my red velvet couch and have a conversation with me about their past peak experiences and their sexual fantasies, and then I would break down the pieces. So just like if you go to learn how to become a good writer, you have to learn how to break down how a story works. If you go to learn to be a painter, you have to learn how color works, how form works, how perspective works. And once you have the tools, you can create any picture you want. So once I understood, break down their fantasy into the story mechanism parts, how is it creating the right transformation for them? Instead of trying to live out their fantasy as they saw it in their mind's eye, I now have the tools, the underlying psychological mechanisms, their genre, if you like, their personal way that their ego is appeased so that they will let go. And I can now create a billion different stories using those tools that create the same effect. I'm not stuck living out, catching that guy wearing my knickers in the knickers drawer and making him wear them over and over and over again. I can create lots of different scenarios that create the same safety for him to let go and make it super exciting.
So instead of having them tell you what they wanted you to do, you would ask them what their peak experiences were, what they enjoyed the most, so that you could then create something for them, which was something that was going to be unknown to them.
That's right.
Which is even more erotic.
Super exciting, because then I'm involved in the creative process. I'm not just acting out something that they want me to feel. I am engaged in play, in flow state of play. And I'm not following my own wiring. I'm following theirs because that's what we're there to do. But I'm in it. Like, and I might not even, you know, as a sex worker, you don't necessarily get horny with every, you know, thousand client number 1,139. You're not necessarily horny. But as a process of creating personalized theater that goes deep into shared moments of erotic states of consciousness together, that could be real over and over and over again. And that was so eye-opening for me, because that made me realize, oh my God, everybody's trying to live out two different ego stories at the same time, and they're not getting anywhere near as far as they could. This sex work thing where I'm focusing on one person's is helping me realize, following all of, getting all of the three ego guards down, your fears about your social status, fears about your self-worth, and fear about your self-identity, all three of those being addressed in your fantasy, you get to open to the fuller potential of these erotic states, the way beyond horny and an orgasm into ecstasy and into some of these states of consciousness that are described by other, you know, spiritual experiences or psychedelics or all sorts of things. But this is the fuller potential. If we could do this for each other, like in relationships where it's not a paid scenario, where you can go, okay, I'm turned on by this. This is my story. Can we have a date night where we focus on my story all the way through to the end? And then we focus on yours the next date night, and we do yours all the way to the end. Other people can start having these level of experiences too. And that brought me to the next stumbling block, which is most people are terrified to share their sexual vulnerability if the other person isn't turned on by the exact same thing that they're turned on by.
Yes.
Right. So, like, just think about it in terms of if you want to receive oral sex, you want to receive lots of oral sex, and you want to take up as long as you need to take up in order to be able to really let go and surrender and get into the space. If you're doubting in any way that it's not for them, you're going to be worried that you're taking up too much time.
100% every time.
All right. Am I taking up too much space? Am I being greedy? Should I stop it now? I had a nice time. I should give them oral now. Like this whole stopping yourself from going as far as you want to go, unless they convince you that actually they're doing it for them and their needs are being met by giving you oral. Then you can just let go and enjoy for as long as you need to. And that's exactly what a sexual fantasy will do. It'll create the scenario that convinces you that. Like, one of the most popular fantasies is having an invader invade your house, tie you up, and force you to receive oral sex and to whatever other kind of pleasure you want until they're done, and they're using you and objectifying you, and they're forcing you. So therefore, obviously, goes the logic of your ego, their needs have been taken care of and they want me and I am desirable enough. I don't need to worry about that anymore.
Right.
They wouldn't be using me. They wouldn't bother to break in and tie me up if they didn't want this for themselves. It's all about them. Oh, good. I can relax now. I can just receive for as long as I need to.
I think there's so much value in that. And I love the idea of, like, in a partnership, sort of taking turns with each other's fantasies too. And so like this morning we were able to live out a fantasy, like, and it was like a two-part fantasy because it was a fantasy that of what I enjoy, like hands on me and massage and just taking my time and everything. And I could fully let go in that. And then the other part of the fantasy was what happened after that. And that was then an opportunity to focus more on his fantasy. And we had another person involved in, you know, it's been like over a year we've been trying to make this happen. And it was just so much fun because I had zero worry about taking too long or feeling pressure even to be turned on or anything. Like everybody was willing to, like, that the focus on me was enough for them. And just that alone let me go totally relax. And then I was like, I really want to be fucked right now. And they were like, oh, okay. All right, game on, right? And they weren't expecting that at all. But but the beauty of like getting to you know, bring someone in their own way, like foreplay in their way, and just really bring them to this like place using some of their fantasies helps them let go to the point that now they can be completely able to enter into a different kind of fantasy because they're not in their head anymore. So it can be really like mutually beneficial if you're not, if you think of it as like we're taking turns, but that is bringing both people pleasure because, you know, instead of focusing on my pleasure, I'm focusing on theirs, which is turning me on because I get to be a part of bringing them pleasure. And if we know that this is mutual, like that we get to kind of have a back and forth, whether it's one time that it's someone's a focus and then the next time it's someone else, I find that that helps get rid of sort of that monotony sometimes of the insecurity of like asking for too much in this moment, like what you're saying, right? Like the ego is like, I can't ask this, or, you know, past experiences have made it so that, you know, that's too much to ask. It takes too long. On the last podcast, we talked about just breaking the cycle of sexual avoidance. And she was talking about just even the basics of like foreplay for a woman in general is about 45 minutes to 90 minutes where they're ready to go. And for a man or someone with a penis, it's like 4 to 8 minutes till they're ready to feel pleasure in the way that someone else would. And that's just, those are the kinds of things that we just aren't taught. We're not taught. It's not talked about much. And so we tend to, I think that's probably why a lot of people seek out a sex worker so that they can feel like they can just get to enjoy what they want to enjoy without guilt about that part of it.
Right. If you give over money, you don't have to focus on their needs anymore because you've taken care of it with money. Yeah. So now you have permission to focus on yourself. And that was the genius of creating that container of sex work.
It had really
clear boundaries around it. But then I thought, how do you bring that same clear container to a non-sex work situation? And I loved one of your previous podcasts where you were talking about the teacup. You have to fill your own teacup first and have it overflow onto the saucer, and you only give from the saucer.
And
you
that's don't deplete
yourself. Yes, she, Elbright. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
she talked about that, and she showed me that analogy, which was just mind blowing for me. Exactly that. It's like there's no guessing anymore on how much you have to leave in the saucer. It's like you don't take anything from the saucer. It's only the overspill into the, or you don't take anything from the cup. It's only what's in the saucer that's overflowed out of the cup.
And that's it.
I love that.
So if your cup is empty and you have to take turns focusing on them, you're going to go into obligation. Oh, I have to do this sex 100%. Act that doesn't turn me on, and I have to fake it and pretend that I like it, so otherwise they're not going to be able to relax. Mm-hmm. And it's yuck. And you just get more and more depleted. If your cup is full and because you've taken turns and you've had your own needs met as well, and then you've got this overflow into the saucer, and then you can genuinely delight in letting go into the flow state of play.
Yeah.
And enjoy giving it to someone. Like, there's so much pleasure in giving something wonderful to someone else and getting involved with your own creativity with it. There's so much in there. But what I really want to emphasize this part, one of the key things I teach people to do in the divinery method is how do you change that source of safety? Because it's easy to talk about it, but how do you actually do that? How do you shift your primal source of safety from needing them to be turned on by doing the things we need in order to get ourselves mm-hmm. off, and instead shift that to, I'm going to get into play state. And I noticed that my clients as a sex worker were all terrified that I was faking it because they were paying. And they said, you have to be into it or you're not a real mistress. Like, you know, all of this kind of thing. They're terrified of that because they needed me to be into it in order for them to feel safe. And I was not turned on by them. My turn on patterns were different to theirs. The story my ego needs to hear is inherently different to theirs. It's always going to be different,
mm-hmm.
right? So what I noticed, though, is because I set it up where I could play, I could genuinely bring my own creativity into it, and I was now enjoying creating something with them. My nervous system went into the flow state of play, and their nervous system, their primal part that needs safety, cannot tell the difference between that and me being horny. If my nervous system relaxes, their nervous system relaxes,
mm-hmm.
and they just let go. So I've created this system to help people be able to create, understand each other's wiring, knowing that it's always going to be different, finding the safety to be able to live out the right things that get all three of their ego guards to stand down so that they can get to the fuller aspect of their sexuality and be there for each other and deeply safely, even though their turn-ons are different, genuinely be in it, carried into the altered state together, access that field beyond the castle walls where your ego's, you know, out of the way, and that awe and that wonder and that delight together, be in sync, mirror neurons syncing together with your nervous system, your breath, you're in it together and you know it on a primal level. So this is, that's something that's pretty unique to my method, I think.
Well, and to prove that really does work, like, so this morning I got to really enjoy something fully for me with zero guilt about it and just got completely lost in it. Mm-hmm. And if you've heard podcasts of mine, you know, I'm not a huge fan of blowjobs. I don't love giving them. It feels like a lot of work and it feels like a lot of pressure in a lot of ways. And I'm very resistant to it. And if I'm asked to do that, I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this afternoon, I felt like my cup was so full and overflowing and I didn't really need anything. And I went and found my partner and gladly offered that and just started doing it just for his pleasure and his enjoyment. And I so enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Because I did not feel pressure to do that. It was a gift I was giving, just like I was given a gift in the mm-hmm. morning, right? And I think that we're so afraid to miss out. And sometimes like our egos are like, yeah, but it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be, if I just like let someone else enjoy everything, then what am I going to get? You know? And that just keeps us stuck because there's so much joy in bringing someone else joy, but in playing and getting to be a character, like you said, like the theater, like we can enter a character and like my role playing might look different than what he expects. But again, if I know sort of the the parameters, like his story of what he wants out of it, then I love that concept of I can create my own story and not get it wrong because it's my story. So then I can enjoy what I'm doing and give a gift at the same time, which is then very connecting.
It's so fun. It's like the funnest thing ever. I love it.
That is and really cool. It's
the one thing that is a little bit different to the theater. Well, I don't know because I've never been a professional actor, but well, I guess I have as a sex worker. But
yeah, right.
But it, I noticed that I was not taking on a character. I was drawing an aspect of myself out and playing with it.
Well, that's even better. Because good actors, there's a piece of themselves that, like, you can tell the actors that just put on a character and those who pull a character out of themselves that they're afraid to let out. But in this altered sort of state, altered ego, they can really pull that out and pull it off because it's not quote unquote them.
Yeah.
Like their brain doesn't believe that it's them. So it's safe because it's just a character, but it's really the deepest part of them. The best actors really have their true essence come out on stage. And it's so believable because it is a part of them.
Right.
They tap into that.
Actually, we have everything, the potential to be any kind of person within us, you know, so it's there, even if your personality is completely opposite normally in everyday life, the potential to be the other part is in there that you can draw out. And it's such a rewarding thing to experience that, to experience being like a dominatrix, for instance, who was being all of the things that I was taught would make me unlovable as a woman. I'd be selfish, own my own desires, only think about myself, wanting what I want and not considering other people, being too much, taking up too much space, being mean, all of these things. If you are these things, you will be unlovable. And to be these parts of myself and have somebody else absolutely love it, look at me with adoration and go into ecstasy around it. What a powerful experience is that?
Yeah. What a powerful experience. It's so affirming, eh?
Yeah. So powerful. And this break, understanding of how to find the character, that's something I'd like to offer your clients as a little freebie. That I actually, so they can start for themselves, figuring out how they can work out what is the, because if you try and just think about what character I should be, you won't be coming from the right part of you. You have to trust this fantasy part, this desire part, the logic of desire, right? So it's drawing on what finds you attractive. And the very first step would be, I will walk you through an exercise. If you go to myfantasyis.com, I will walk you through an exercise where you can just Google a celebrity that you find attractive, that you just know is attractive. Get several pictures of them up side by side. And even though they physically look the same in all of them, they're the same body, the same age, the same person, you will find yourself attracted to some images more than others. And looking at why, I'll walk you through what questions to find out why. That will reveal the character to draw on in order to ignite your own ego dissolution experience, your own erotic experience. So that's myfantasyis.com. If you want to check that one out,
myfantasyis.com. Well, I'm definitely going to do that because I can think of the actor that I would pull up right now.
Yes.
On my 30th birthday, I discovered this man and I was like, oh. And I was still very Christian at the time, so it was like totally taboo, but he was like the first person I was like talking about, like, oh my goodness. You know, like if I had a hall pass, this would be the guy, or if I needed mouth to mouth, it would be him.
Yes, that's no. Right. Most people do have one of those things. One of the really interesting things about that exercise, though, is it makes you become aware of like we think that it was because of the way that they physically look that we're attracted to them.
No.
But we become aware that actually we're not attracted to them, even though they look the same in that photo. It's something else that's actually activating the story inside us. And that's what makes us become turned on, right? It's they have to be reflecting the right body language, the right attitude, the right combination of things that symbolically represent for us both our poison and our antidote. And when they get that in one picture, oh my God, that can last for 10 years in your wank bank.
Right? I love that. Wait, I mean, here it's like often more spank bank, but wank bank is great. I love it. I love that it's all called play. And like in this world of ethical non-monogamy, of sexual freedom, this sexuality is called play. And I often say to people, like, sex can be in one circle and love in another circle. And you can combine them as much as you want, but one is not the other. They're two separate things. And you don't need both pieces to feel one of those things or to enjoy one of those things. So love can beautiful without sex, and sex can be beautiful without love, and sex can be so powerful and exciting when we don't put limits on it and we don't make it have to fit. It doesn't have to be a spiritual experience every time, but it can be. It can be either or, and it's just – and to not have an expectation of what it has to be just is so freeing as well.
I love that you brought that up. Thank you so much. Yes, I noticed that there was a whole bunch of people who had unresolved good girl-itis, who had gone into the sex industry, and they could only feel as though they were justified in being a sex worker if they offered spiritual sex. And they would call themselves tantrikas. Like, not all tantrikas are like this, by the way.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is just a thing that happened, like, or conscious sex or all of these things that make it, I'm a good girl and a bad girl at the same time. Like, they had to, and lots and lots of people, first of all, give their very first permission to be sexual beings by putting it under the umbrella of healing. Oh, I can do this because it's healing my childhood trauma. I can do this because, and yes, that might be. I'm not negating that. But if you fall into the trap of only giving yourself permission to feel lust because it's about healing or it's about accessing spirituality, then you're not trusting this brilliant part of yourself. You're still in a mistrusting relationship with your own sexual desire.
Yeah.
The point is not necessarily to try and get into a spiritual state of consciousness. I don't try and get into a spiritual state of consciousness. That's not my goal. I just follow their fantasy. I trust their desire and the story, and it takes us wherever we need to go. And sometimes that takes us so far that it's a spiritual state of consciousness.
Yeah. And it's lovely when it comes out of nowhere, you know, instead of being disappointed that it wasn't that.
Yeah. As soon as you're goal-oriented, you've ruined everything.
I know. Is it any wonder, though? It's not our fault that we are goal-oriented, because that's what we're taught in our culture. Like, everything has to have a goal and a result, you know? And if you don't, and really, like, there's no need for sex other than procreation as a goal, right? Like it's something you don't have to have, you know? We need to sacrifice and be adults and be, you know, give up our pleasures in order to be responsible adults. And it's like, well, that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting to be an adult and deny ourselves pleasure on a regular basis. Like, why do you think there's so many mental health issues going on? We have lost the ability to play as adults. We've lost the ability to let go and just enjoy pleasure for the sake of pleasure. We have to give it meaning somehow. But pleasure in itself is just amazing, and
isn't it?
Yeah,
pleasure in itself is expansiveness, and it re-enchants all of life. It reconnects us with wonder and awe. And is there anything more holy, if you like, than feeling absolute wonder and awe that we exist at all and sharing that with someone else. Like it brings us back to this absolute astonishment that life exists and on and the deep, humbled respect that life exists. That comes through pleasure, not through getting your bank balance right and working hard and having a Protestant work ethic. You know, it's not. That's not actually what leads you to that. If you want to honor the fact that we exist, play.
100%. And that's what I love about my life is like my weekends, you know, I go to the club and I dance and I have an amazing I have amazing conversations with people. I can be sexy. I can make out. I can explore my body. Other people can explore my body. And it's just so fulfilling and so enjoyable. But I mean, we could go on for hours here. I'm sure we could, but we don't have that kind of time because you have to go and I have to go. But I am so happy you came on this podcast. I'm glad that you reached out to me, and I would love to do this again sometime. We'll definitely have to do it. I'm sure there's a million things we could talk about, but thank you for bringing our awareness to this idea that, you know, transformation can happen with fantasies and not just healing transformations. Like, we don't always have to be healing in life. We can just be.
Just transform to one state of consciousness to another.
Yeah. So, you know, life doesn't have to be so hard all the time. We make it everything, turn everything into a mission. And I know I'm guilty of that as a coach. Like, I'm like, okay, got to better myself and I got to do this. It's like, Kareen, just be in the moment right now and just enjoy and just let yourself go, you know, and that's harder said than done. Harder done than said, whatever. Easier said than done. There we go. Oh, my goodness.
You're so open. It's wonderful. It's really lovely to hear. Oh. So, yeah, well, I'd love to come back on and maybe later when my book comes out.
Yes, yes. You'll have to come back and talk about
my book, The Spirituality of Smut. The Spirituality of Smut. I love the word smut. Who likes it? Smut. It's great. That's going to have all of the stories and techniques that I use in the divinery method in that to share as well. So if you go get that freebie at the myfantasyis.com, you'll get on my mailing list and find out when that book comes out as well. But amazing. I'd love to talk to you again. Yes. I'd love to go in deeper into this. I love what you're offering to the world. I think my people are going to love what you're offering when they hear this podcast. They're going to think it's fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to have connected with you, and I'm sure that we will enjoy cool connections and collaborations or whatever throughout the years. So I'm very happy to have you in my world, Artemisia, and thank you for being my guest. I hope you have a lovely day. As I always say, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. So have a wonderful week. Thank you for coming. Well, I think you will agree that was just incredible. What an interesting story. Artemisia is just an incredible person, and I love what she brings to this world. So I'm really excited that I got a chance to speak with her. I encourage you to check out her new book that's coming up, The Spirituality of Smut. That sounds so interesting. And also, don't forget to check out her free mini course that she has. The link will be in the show notes. It's myfantasyis.com, but all her links are in the show notes if you want to get a hold of her. Thank you so much for being here and for being part of this conversation and listening and just being interested in educating yourself and losing the stigma that we have about relationships and sexuality in our culture. I commend you for listening regularly. If you do, and if this is your first time listening, I'm so grateful that you're here. I would love it if you guys could like and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to, if there is a way to review. That just helps the podcast get noticed and listened to, and I would so appreciate that. Recommend this podcast to your friends. Share it in your social media if you dare. I would be so grateful. The more this message gets out there, the more we can get rid of shame and guilt and get rid of the stigma around sexuality and different styles of relationships and loving. I just have such a passion to be authentic and allow everybody to be authentic. So reach out to me if you desire more authenticity, if you feel stuck. Like, honestly, that's why I'm here. I want to help you just break free from this need to conform, this need to be like everyone else, or this need to be a people pleaser. In my cohort this week, we just had so many breakthroughs. It was so incredible just to have people start to recognize how much they are willing to self-abandon and put others first instead of themselves. It's what we've been taught, but we're taught that that is more honorable. Meanwhile, we're completely depleting ourselves. So really, we become a shell of a person, and it's not more honorable because we have nothing left. So I just encourage you to reach out to me if you want to learn more about the program. You guys, it is life-changing. So many transformations happening. It's such a wonderful time. Next week's our last week of this current cohort, and we're all so sad that it's over. We enjoy the conversation so much. So I want you to be a part of that. Reach out to me. I will let you know if this is the right thing for you. If you have questions, you know. The other thing is, my new program is coming out shortly. I have been working so hard to get this thing done. The Open Relationship Roadmap, The Secrets to Success. And I'm telling you, if you aren't sure if you're in the right place, if you should try this world out, if ethical monogamy is for you, if you just want to be a better person, if you want to have a more empowered relationship, this course is for you. It is just so eye-opening, and it will really help you find out if you're on the right path and what you need in order to not sacrifice the relationships that you currently have. If you don't want to mess up, if you will, and just navigate this world successfully. If you're just curious about it and want to find out more and what's involved, this course is also for you. So I encourage you to message me, and I can send you the link to get on the waiting list. It is almost done. I'm hoping that today is my final day working on it, but all the material's done, all the lessons are recorded, and I just have a couple things to finalize, but I'm so excited about it. Anyways, I hope you have an amazing week. Next week's podcast is going to be incredible as well. We are really going to dig deep and really talk about conformity and society and just the program and the science behind my 8-week program and why it's so effective and how it can change your life. So I will see you in 2 weeks for that. Make sure that you listen to that one. It's going to be really great. I love you. Thank you so much for being here, and I can't wait. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Corinne Bedard Coaching, and you can visit my website at corinnebedard.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like and share it with your friends. I'd be so grateful if you could help by giving us a 5-star review on Podchaser or iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to our mailing list to be kept up to date about upcoming episodes and exciting news. Just visit our website at breakingfreeauthentically.com and scroll down to subscribe. You can also email me anytime. I'd love to hear from you. Send your messages and questions to Corinne@KorinneBedard.com. Are you a part of my Facebook community yet? Join us in Breaking Free Authentically. It's where you will find this sex-positive relationship community. I'd be thrilled to have you be a part of this community with me. All the links will be in the show notes, so don't forget to check it out. Remember, when it comes to sex positivity, authenticity is the key. Have a great week.